you know, I think that everyone thinks they've got an opinion on everything, and I think I've only been doing this about a year, and I think I've tried to maybe pay attention to the sort of regular committed audience that I think wants to hear from me. I mean, it tended to be that I would get asked to comment on things, and I've had to kind of swing away from that because I'm not. You know, quite often a video for me is me saying, I don't have enough information to talk about this, frankly.
Well, let's get a little bit of a flavour of the film that we're talking about.
Spread love, joy, and peace. That is what I want the world to feel.
So that was the trailer for Michael, which is from Lionsgate Films. Ada, have you seen the film?
Yes.
What was your sort of capsule review of it?
Oh, a good fun time. I was singing. I was dancing.
Were lots of people in the cinema dancing and singing as well? Because I've seen reports that people like get up and stand in front of the screen and start dancing.
I actually had the fortunate experience to see it solo.
Right.
So I was seeing it for a review, so it was just me. So that's the only reason why I was singing and dancing. Okay. I don't think I would have done it in a public setting.
Okay. And Jamal, have you seen it?
Yeah, a couple of times.
A couple of times?
Three times, I think.
Three times?
Yeah.
You must have really loved it in that case.
No. I mean, I watch everything more than once. The only thing I can't really stomach more than once is a horror that really gets to me. I think I've only ever seen The Descent once.
Do you think this was a horror film from your point of view?
I mean, look, I think the musical biopic genre is probably my least favourite genre. I think it's one of the most inoffensive genres to the point of being offensive when it comes to storytelling. And, you know, my review was not... I didn't mince my words. I think that it's possibly... You know, and even now I feel awkward saying it. I think it's possibly the worst of the genre.
So you mean the genre of biopics
particularly musical biopics? Yeah, I think that they sort of come under a very specific lens, particularly because they tend to, you know, they want the music from the estate, and so they end up having to work with the people that they're talking about. Which then means that they're restricted in ways that they have to kind of play to two audiences, essentially.
Yeah. Before we get into the debate, let's learn a little bit more about this film. Nicholas Barber is an arts journalist who writes for BBC Culture, and I asked him what the film is and what it is not.
It claims to be a celebration. I think all the marketing has said that, and even when I went to the screening, that there was an introduction, it was like, now let's get together and celebrate Michael Jackson. So that's what it claims to be. It doesn't claim to be anything else. It doesn't claim to be a very hard-hitting documentary. It's certainly not that. I mean, it doesn't attempt to capture the controversial aspects at all. It avoids them. It turns a blind eye to them completely. Its stated purpose has been to celebrate Michael Jackson.
How would you sum up your response critically to this film?
I'm afraid I gave it a one-star review. I started off by saying, it's bad, it's really, really bad. It plods through his life, basically from the 60s to the 80s. It starts with him as a young boy in Gary, Indiana, and his cruel dad is getting the Jackson 5 into shape. And then it kind of goes through the successes one after another. There isn't really much of a plot. It's just like then this album came out and then this video came out. And you're just watching this going, okay, well, we're kind of going through Wikipedia, really. We're ticking it off. The narrative kind of finishes in about 1984, and then there's a concert sequence from 1988, which is his triumphal moment. The story, as much as there is a story, is Michael Jackson getting out from under the thumb of his cruel dad and saying I'm going to do it my own way now, I'm going to be a solo star. And so it goes quite far through his solo career, but it decides that in the mid-80s was finally when he said, look, I'm not going to do stuff for the Jackson 5 anymore, I'm not going to do stuff for what my dad wants me to do, I'm just going to do my own stuff.
But there's been a lot of reports that actually there was a final act that was filmed but didn't make it to the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, It's had a long old production story. It's produced by a guy called Graham King, who's a very successful producer, has lots of big hits. One of his big successes was Bohemian Rhapsody, which was the biopic of Queen and Freddie Mercury. Graham King then said he was going to do the Michael Jackson biopic. There were delays, there was things like the actor strike and so on. But it was shot in 2024. Everything seemed to be fine. And at that point, Graham King was saying, look, he's a complicated man. There are a lot of scandals and a lot of accusations have been made, and we're not going to shy away from that. I want to make an honest portrait of an interesting character. And in fact, from what we gather from people who have read the script, the framing device was going to be in the 90s, he's accused of child abuse. It starts with him at the Neverland Ranch, his big family home. The police come to the door. They're going to look for evidence. We flash back and we see his career. We see his triumphs, and then we get to the 90s again, and then he has to fight the accusations. And I believe that in the script he was vindicated.
Right, and all of that was dropped because.
Well, what happened was in 1994 he had this settlement with the family of the boy who accused him, Jordan Chandler. So this version of the film was shot, and then the lawyers realised that as part of the settlement deal. They'd agreed with the Chandler family was that he could not be mentioned in any film about the Jacksons. So suddenly they realised this framing device, we can't use it. We've got to throw it all out. So they then had to rewrite it. The release date was pushed back. They did a load of reshoots in 2025.
And do we know who paid for that? Because retakes cost money.
Yeah, I know. The figures, $10 million, $15 million have been bandied around. Apparently it was the Jackson estate lawyers who've fit the bill because it was their fault. I mean, they should have found this clause in the settlement contract saying you can't mention the Chandlers. So they had to pay the bill. But you could say, well, you know, to be fair, they were at least going to take on these accusations. They were going to take on these scandals. Whether they were going to be as critical as you might hope, that's another matter. But they were going to address them.
And you mentioned Graham King, who's kind of the impresario behind the production. But the Jackson family were involved to some extent.
Yeah, the Jackson family and the Jackson estate, the lawyers in charge of his estate, were very, very much involved. Several of Michael Jackson's brothers who were in the Jackson 5 with him are credited as producers of the film. They've been over the script, they authorised it, and in fact, the guy who plays Michael Jackson is his own nephew, Jafar Jackson.
And how often is it the case that an artist's family or their estate would be involved in a biopic like this?
I think with something like this, they have to be involved because you want the rights to the songs. Without the songs, you're in trouble. But that doesn't mean they'll have complete control of it. You know, that's down to the individual contracts. In this particular case, yeah, I mean, they definitely put their mark on it.
And so the film ends with a caption saying, "His story continues." Do we think that means there's going to be a sequel?
Well, the producers have talked about there being a sequel. And when they had to change the ending, they said, look, we've got all this footage that we can't use now, but maybe we will use it. We'll make a sequel. The first film will be The Making of a King, The Rise of a King, and the next film will be What Happened Next. But it would have to be a very different proposition because it couldn't just be a straight celebration. Even if you feel that Michael Jackson is innocent of everything he's been accused of, his life towards the end was troubled. Yeah, it's not going to be the triumphal feel-good film that is going to pull in the crowds. If I was a producer, I think I'd probably just leave it there.
Thanks to Nicholas Barber. So, Ada, do you think it's a good description that it's a celebration?
I would say so, but I think aren't all music biopics kind of a celebration? It's always the highs and lows, but more of the highs about the musician. So I wouldn't say that it's rare for just this one case. And I think that the way that it plays out is kind of reflective of how people looked at Michael at the time, as if he was this untouchable, really perfect musician that was a bit misunderstood, but he was creating these pieces of music that were so incredible, then it just didn't matter. Mm. So then the split between what might be between part one and part two, I think will actually probably reflect how we felt as people, where you saw this person that was almost godlike, and then you heard these accusations, and which will come in part two, fingers crossed, and then it all comes crashing down. I think that if they did try to add on the accusations into what we'd already watched, we're already 2 hours in, I still can't really see how that would have floated within the film without making it another 4-hour-long stretch. So splitting it between the two and kind of showing that it's almost the before and after the Michael that we ended up knowing.
But aren't the producers then potentially having their cake and eating it by saying, oh, we'll put all the good stuff in part one, and then we'll maybe make part two where we'll be a bit more, have a fuller picture of his career?
Most likely, but I do find it quite interesting because I feel like I'd always heard it was going to be a two-parter. So it wasn't surprising to me that they tried to make that split.
I mean, Jamal, do you think the filmmakers had a duty to tell a fuller picture? Because if they want to just make a celebration, of course you're going to make a happy, joyous, fun film with maybe a few lows in it, but not the lowest lows.
It's difficult to say what the duty of a filmmaker is with any story other than to themselves and the story they want to tell. I think that there's a conversation that's much larger about what a biopic, particularly about what a biopic is supposed to do, what the sort of role of it is within society. I mean, it's not a biography, right? It's not a biography in the same way that a book is a biography. But I guess that, for me, the duty of any filmmaker is to tell a good story, and I guess to sort of veer as far away from as you can to sort of ultimately propaganda. I think that musical biopics do essentially clean up the legacies of a lot of these stars. Even the ones I enjoy, I end up coming out of it thinking, well, they ended up looking pretty squeaky clean, didn't they? If they did show some of the dark parts. I think that a lot of the critique about this movie is that it takes it to a level that's never really been seen before. I think that whilst I do agree with Anna that these movies have a cliche and a structure, that they do show lots of highs and lows, I'm not sure that the Michael movie does that at all. I can't think of a moment in the movie where he is fallible. I can't think of a moment in the movie where he's a negative force. He's constantly portrayed as messianic in such a way that,
there are bits where they show that he's a bit odd. So I'm thinking of a scene where he's talking to somebody off camera and you think he's talking to his friend and it's a slightly weird conversation, and then the camera pans over and he's talking to his pet llama because that's the only friend he's got. So they're not making out that he's completely normal.